Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will continue and today conclude our series of studies on the topic, Should Your Conscience Be Your Guide? We're looking at Scripture, at what the conscience is, where it comes from, and how it became defiled. And today, we're going to talk about how your defiled conscience can become renewed and purified. So we trust that you'll stay tuned for the program today. Titus chapter 1, verse 15 is our starting point, so you might want to take a moment, get your Bibles, and turn to Paul's epistle to Titus, the first chapter and the 15th verse. As you do that, we'll remind you once again that you are watching Grace Alive, and at the end of the program today, we'll be giving you complete information about how you can contact us. We have a mailing address, web address, toll-free phone number, and any one of those ways you can contact us if you've got questions or comments about the program. Also, if you'd like to receive the tapes or DVDs, CDs of this month's series of studies, this will be your last opportunity to request them. So if you're interested in that, you want to be sure to get your letter in this week for this current series of studies on the conscience. Right now, Titus chapter 1 and verse 15, we read this, "Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled." Paul talks there about one of the basic problems with mankind, and one of those basic problems with mankind is that our conscience, our mind, is defiled, is reprobate. We've been looking at conscience all this month in our studies, and it's interesting there in that verse that Paul puts together their mind and conscience is defiled. And that's exactly what we've done in this series of studies. We've understood, first of all, that mankind is a triune being, spirit, soul, and body, that spirit is related to man's mind, to his intellect, to his rational thought, and that it's in that mind and spirit that mankind's conscience is located. And that man's conscience is what is the driving force that tells him right from wrong. Man's conscience is that system of norms and standards that allows him to know this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is bad, this makes sense, this doesn't make sense, this is reasonable, this is not reasonable. And everything you see and hear in your life, every time you talk with someone, every time you see something on the television, hear it on the radio, see a billboard, whatever the case might be, you are in your conscience making a determination and some evaluations about that information. Is it right? Is it wrong? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Does it make sense? Does it not? Is it something you're going to have to think about some more? Is it something you just reject out of hand? And that system of norms and standards within you is what allows you to do that. Now, we've seen that with the fall of man, with Adam and Eve's sin, the spirit died, that is, ceased to function for the purpose for which it was created. In essence, what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden was replace God's system of norms and standards, which was, thou shalt not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, with their own system of norms and standards, which was lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. And when they did that, they ate the fruit of the tree. Mankind was plunged into sin. His conscience became defiled and depraved. It ultimately led to Genesis chapter 6, where all the thoughts of his man's heart is only evil continually, where man had corrupted his way before the Lord, and the Lord destroyed man. God intervened again in history with the nation Israel, and we studied this last week. When he gave Israel the law, one of the reasons he gave Israel the law was to renew their conscience. We use the analogy that it was sort of like when your computer, you're using your computer and it gets all filled up with garbage and useless information, and the memory slows down and things just won't work right, and sometimes you just have to reboot your computer. And rebooting your computer is taking all the garbage out of the memory and reloading everything again. Reloading the operating system, reloading everything again so that it will function properly. It's not operating right. The operating system is all full of garbage. And you need to get that operating system cleaned up so it's pure again and functioning properly. Well, in giving the law to Israel, that's in essence what God was doing. He was telling them, listen, here's a new operating system for you. And what I want you to do is reboot, erase all the old stuff, that system of norms and standards that's in you by birth from Adam and Eve, erase all that and start afresh. And here's a new system of operation for you. Here's a new system of norms and standards. Israel failed to do that. Their norm of operation became what's right is what's profitable. Justice is to the highest bidder. Their prophets taught for hire. Their priests taught for reward. The prophets prophesied for money, for filthy lucre. And the cause of the fatherless and the widow didn't come before them at all. And instead of rebooting, as it were, and using God's truth, they continued to walk in error. They continued to walk in their defiled and depraved conscience. This week we want to look at what the Apostle Paul has to say about changing our conscience, about renewing our conscience, about purifying our conscience. We have a conscience that is defiled. And we need a conscience that is purified. Our defiled conscience needs to be purified. Now, the law that God gave to Israel was the way that He wanted them to purify their conscience. That is, He gave them truth, gave them information, told them, you take that information in, and it will purify your conscience. Now, that same basic premise is true today. We have a new revelation. We have more information. We have the revelation of the mystery given to and through the Apostle Paul for the dispensation of grace and the church, the body of Christ. But the basic premise that what you need to do is reboot the system. What you need to do is dump all the garbage out of your mind and fill it again with a new operating system, with a new set of norms and standards. That basic premise is still true. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4. Let's look at what Paul says. Now, we read the passage here in Titus chapter 1. And he talks about that defiled conscience. Unto the pure, all things are pure. To them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. He talks there about a defiled conscience. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That is, their conscience is not functioning properly. Their conscience, that they speak lies in hypocrisy. Remember, we talked last week when we talked about the nation Israel and how they failed to renew their mind. They failed to reboot their system with this information and the law that God had given to them. And we went to Romans chapter 2. In fact, keep your hand right here in 1 Timothy. Just flip back to Romans chapter 2. And I just want to show you the similarity between what happened with Israel and what Paul warns here is going to happen in the latter times of the dispensation of grace. In Romans chapter 2, God says to Israel, verse number 21, "Thou therefore that teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege?" He says to Israel, you that are teaching, you're teaching one thing and doing another. You're teaching don't steal and you're stealing. You're teaching don't commit adultery, you're committing adultery. And what did we say that last week that makes someone? When someone tells you something that you should do and then goes and does the opposite, what do we call them? Well, we call them the same thing Jesus Christ did in Matthew chapter 23. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Israel had become hypocrites because they had the truth of God. They had God's system of norms and standards, and they told everyone, you should operate based on God's system of norms and standards. But they had never written it in their own hearts. And they themselves didn't operate on that system of norms and standards. They operated on that system of justice to the highest bidder. And here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says in verse 2, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That is, it doesn't bother them at all to teach one thing, teach don't do this, and then go out and do it. It doesn't bother them at all. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron. It has no effect. It's just seared. It doesn't bother them. Just the same way that Israel was. Paul says the latter times the dispensation of grace will be exemplified by that same truth. By that same fact. That man's conscience will be seared with a hot iron. That there'll be hypocrisy. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. They will, in fact, look over at chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. He sort of elaborates on that somewhat. This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, on and on. Listen to what he says in verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Again, a form of godliness, but denying the truth of it, the power of it. From such turn away. You see, Paul warns about the same thing. Having this truth and teaching this truth and telling men live by this truth, but then not doing it, speaking lies in hypocrisy. Not really having your conscience purified, not having your own system, your own set of norms and standards purified, but simply preaching it. Now, Paul gives us the key. Paul gives us the key to purifying our conscience. In fact, Paul talks about his own conscience being pure. Let's turn back to the book of Acts just to pick up a verse where Paul talks about his conscience. Acts chapter 23 and verse number 1. Acts chapter 23 and verse number 1, we read this, and Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. I have lived in all good conscience before God. You see, Paul's conscience was pure before God. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. Paul talks again in 2 Timothy about his conscience. I thank God, whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Paul talks about the fact that his conscience has been purified. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience. I'm not telling men one thing and then doing another. My conscience is pure. I'm not telling men, God says do this, I'm going out and do this other thing. You should do this, but I'm going out and do this other thing. I'm not one of those men who I do what's right in my own sight and tell you should do what's right in God's sight. I serve out of a pure conscience. Now, how is that? How was Paul's conscience purified so that he was not being a hypocrite? Well, Romans chapter 12 is really the key passage. And one other also that we'll look at. But let's start with Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. Romans 12 and verse number 1. In Romans 12, 1, we read this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, remember, we talked about conscience being related to your mind,
because it's related to your spirit, which has died. Paul's talking here about how to renew your mind. Now understand, by the time Paul gets here in Romans chapter 12, he's already covered the issues of salvation, of justification. You cannot even begin to purify your conscience until you've come to God by faith in Jesus Christ. Until you've done what Paul talks about earlier in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 22, verse number 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Until you understand that redemption is in Christ Jesus, until you understand that your sins were paid for, everyone, past, present, and future, on that cross by Jesus Christ and His shed blood, and until you trust in that blood and His death, burial, and resurrection as the payment for your sin, there is no hope of purifying your conscience. That's the key. That's the beginning point. "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe." Have you believed? Have you put your faith and trust in Christ? Believe that when Jesus Christ died on that cross, God took all your sin and placed it there on Him. And when He died, He paid the penalty for that sin. And God looks at that death of Christ and says, "I am satisfied. My anger and justice for sin is satisfied." And now all you need to do is agree with God that that's true. That when Christ died on the cross, He took your sin, He paid for all of it, and your salvation comes because Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sin. And when you trust that, when you believe that, God gives you the gift of eternal life. He pays for your sin, gives you eternal life. Now that's the first step to a purified conscience. So if you've not done that, you need to start right there by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. But then once you've done that, how do you reboot the system, so to speak? You've trusted Christ. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are absolutely not an issue anymore. God will never bring up those sins, past, present, or future sins even, before you and say, "Look at that, I charge it to your account," because all those have been paid for in Christ. But now if those sins are paid for, then we ought to not want to live in them anymore. Those sins are what killed my Savior. And I want to live based on my Savior's system of norms and standards, not my own anymore. I've been living my own life all my life, and all it did was get me messed up. And now that I've trusted Christ, and now that all my sins are forgiven, I want to live my life based on His system of norms and standards, on what He says is right. And how do I do that? Well, that's what Paul's dealing with when he gets to Romans chapter 12. He tells us in Romans 12, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And where it all gets back to is your mind. You've got to renew that mind. Turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 22. Ephesians 4 and verse number 22. And there we read this: "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." As we've been saying, reboot the system. Put off the old man. Take out the old information. Put on the new man. Bring in the new information. And how do you do that? Right in the middle, verse 23, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Your mind, you need to put new information in your mind. You need to put new facts in your mind. Well, you need to put facts in your mind, not what was in your mind before, which are not facts, it's lies. You need to put the truth of God in your mind and think on those things of God. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Fortunately, God has given us a way to access His mind. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. As it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. God has revealed Him to Himself to us by His Spirit. Verse 16, the end of that chapter says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. You see, in 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us, you can't know God, you can't understand Him, you can't know His system of norms and standards, His conscience, but He has revealed it to you. How has He revealed it? Well, His Spirit has revealed it. How has His Spirit revealed it? Well, His Spirit gave you a book. Jesus Christ says in John chapter 6, verse 63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are truth. And the spiritual life in that book, Hebrews chapter 4 says that the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And in that book, we have the mind of Christ. We have His truth. We have His mind. We have His conscience. And as we take the truth from that book and put it into our minds and write it in our heart, just as Israel was to take the law that God gave them and write it in their hearts, we are to take the information that God gave us through Paul and write it in our hearts. And as we write that information in our hearts, it allows us then to make proper decisions with a purified conscience. Listen to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. Philippians 1 verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Paul says, I want you to abound in knowledge and judgment and approve things that are excellent. How do you do that? Well, you grow in knowledge and judgment by taking in the truth of God's Word. And as you do that, you're able to approve things that are excellent. What's that mean? Well, it's that system of norms and standards. Approving things that are excellent is making wise choices, examining things. Which one is the most excellent thing? So when you hear something, when you see something, when someone at the water fountain at work tells you something, when you hear something on the news, when you see a billboard, when you hear a preacher on the radio or on the TV, you have this system of norms and standards that's able to approve the most excellent thing. Because you've taken the Word of God and written it in your heart and written it in your mind, and your spirit that was dead has become alive in Christ, and your mind and conscience that were defiled have become purified by the Word of God. One last verse we just need to look at real quickly. Chapter 12, and verse number 6. Psalm chapter 12 and verse 6. And this is a fascinating verse when you compare it with the passage in Titus there that says your conscience is defiled and what your conscience needs is to be purified. Psalm chapter 12 and verse number 6, we read this. The words of the Lord are, and the next two words are, pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. how would you take a defiled conscience and purify it? The words of the Lord, they're pure words. See, if you fill your mind with pure words, and if your mind is what sets up that system of norms and standards, that conscience, and you fill up your mind with pure words, you see, that produces a purified conscience. Our conscience is purified by the Word of God and by His truth. Should your conscience be your guide? We talked earlier in the series about that's the advice that Jiminy Cricket gave to Pinocchio, always let your conscience be your guide. Well, there's only one word missing from that little bit of advice. A purified conscience should be your guide. A purified, not a defiled conscience, not the conscience you're born with in Adam, but a conscience that's in a renewed mind, renewed by the truth of God's Word. God's Word is the standard. God's Word is the basis of a purified conscience. We'd like to invite you to write to us here at Grace Alive with any questions or comments that you might have. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address, www.gracealive.us, and our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. We look forward to hearing from you this week in any one of those ways. As I said, if you have questions or comments, we'll be glad to answer them for you. If you would like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes or the CDs or DVDs of this entire four-month series of studies, simply write to us, request them. We'll be glad to get them out to you without any cost or obligation. We simply want to help you to better understand the Word of God and how to have a purified conscience. Until next week, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.